We do this morning want to say that we are thankful for all of our veterans. Tomorrow's Veterans Day, and we are thankful for all those who have served our country well, and we are thankful for you, for your service, for your sacrifice. God has greatly used this nation. Amen? Amen. He has, indeed. Is everything perfect with this nation? Not by a long shot. But he has greatly used this nation, and you have been a part of that. So we are very thankful for you. This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 2. I imagine some of you are kind of wondering, did Christmas come early this year and you miss it? Last week, we were in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, dealing with the birth of Christ. This week, we're going to continue with that theme in verse 8 through, I think it's verse number 20, that deals with the shepherds in the field. And so we want to talk about that for a little while this morning. So if you would, stand in honor of God's word one more time, and let's read this passage of Scripture. Now, this passage of Scripture, I must say, is very simple, very straightforward. Some of you could probably put your Bibles down and quote this passage of Scripture just from watching the Christmas specials at Christmas each year. But let's read beginning in let's back up two verses in verse number 6 and read the verses where Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem and she is ready to give birth. In verse 6 it says, "And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we know that your blessing is already on your word. And so, Father, we pray today that as your word is proclaimed, that you would indeed bless the word to the hearts of the hearers today. Father, for those who know you as Savior, I pray that this would be a wonderful time of studying and looking into your word and being challenged from your word. For those here this morning that may not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray this morning that indeed you would penetrate your word to their hearts, that they may come to know you without a doubt, that they may come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. Now, Father, speak to us this morning. May you be glorified in this place. We ask it in your divine and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, to get the most out of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8, we've got to kind of go back just for a moment. we need to go back to Luke chapter 1 and the first few verses and remember that Luke is writing to a man named Theophilus, a man who has heard some things about Jesus, knows some things about him, but maybe is a little bit skeptical of what he has heard and been told about this man named Jesus Christ. And so in this process, Luke begins to go back and research and define and discover and nail things down so that he can report to Theophilus, so that Theophilus can know for sure and completely the story of Jesus. And so with that as the basis, we've moved forward. We've watched as the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias while he's ministering in the temple, tells him that his wife is going to have a baby, which is quite unusual since she was older and she was barren. And they are to have a son who will be the forerunner of the Christ, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. And he's told that news. He goes back home. Elizabeth indeed becomes pregnant, is going to have a child, and it is going to come to pass. We've watched as some 6 months transpire, that same angel, the angel Gabriel, goes some 100 miles up the road to roughly 100 miles up the road to Mary's house. Mary, a little teenage girl, somewhere around 13, 14 years of age, appears to her, tells her that she is going to have a child, and that she is going to have a child that will be Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate in human flesh. Mary's got one question. How can that be? I'm a virgin. As far as I know, virgins don't have children. And so the angel begins to tell her that this is a miracle of God. God is going to work a miracle in your life. This is going to take place. We've watched as Mary traveled to Elizabeth's house, spent some 3 months with Elizabeth. John the Baptist is born, comes on the scene, and that brings us to the end of chapter number 1. Now we're again, 6 months later, chapter 2, verse 1, God begins to move the pieces in place, orchestrate events, move the government, cause a census to be taken so that the government can have more power, more money, more taxation, more troops, all of those things. He brings them together in the place in what Paul describes in the book of Galatians as the fullness of time. And at the fullness of time, God brings it all about so this little girl named Mary, who lives in Nazareth, may be taken to Bethlehem so that she can give birth to the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, where the Old Testament prophets had prophesied that it would happen. All of that has taken place. Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, it is unexpected. Now, it's not unexpected for us because you heard it since the time, many of you heard it since the time you could read or write in Sunday school. But if you were writing a story about how God came to earth, I doubt you would have included shepherds in your story. I mean, is that not a little bit random to you? Here's the king of all ages coming to earth, and you're going to draw shepherds into the picture somehow. So with that said, I want us to look at this story because I think as we begin to look at this story and we begin to look at the parts of it, you begin to see where Luke has a very specific message for Theophilus, even in the portion that deals with the shepherds. So we're going to break this down very easily. It's going to be very simple. You're probably going to go away from here saying, I knew everything that he said today. Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you knew that. But hopefully this morning you'll see how it all ties together. So first, let's look at the shepherds. If you have your study guide and you want to follow along, just follow along with us. In verse number 8, it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, if you know much about shepherds in that area, they would travel along and around finding places to pasture their sheep, to finding green pastures, places where their sheep can have plenty to eat. But somewhere in the region around Bethlehem, we're not exactly sure where, but somewhere in that region around there, some shepherds had settled in for the night. Probably several shepherds had brought their various flocks together. They had formed a little corral, and they had the sheep in there. And then typically the shepherd or the shepherds would lie in the doorway or the gateway into that corral to protect those sheep from any predator that would come. And so these guys are doing exactly what they have done day in, day out, probably for years. They're taking care of their sheep. They're very diligent in making sure that the sheep are safe. And they're there all by themselves on that hillside or on that in that field taking care of the sheep. Now, you need to know a few things about shepherds based on what we know from that era on shepherds. First of all, they were considered religiously or ceremonially unclean. And the reason that they were considered religiously or ceremonially unclean, by this time, the Pharisees are beginning to develop a whole list of standards of what it is to be right with God, what it is to observe the Sabbath, what it is to do all of these things. Guess what group of people don't get off at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon? Shepherds. They don't. They don't work a 9-to-5 job. They don't work 5 days a week at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Say, hey, sheep, I'll see you next Monday morning at 9 o'clock. See you then. Doesn't happen that way. So the shepherds have to work on the Sabbath. Constantly find themselves at odds with the religious power structure, if you would. Find themselves being viewed as ceremonially unclean, ritually unclean, because they are not able to do all the things the Pharisees say that you need to be doing in order to be clean. Notice the second thing about them. They were considered untrustworthy. In fact, as time has gone on, and as in the time of Christ and going after that, it begins to get worse, is the fact that there is they become known as those that are unreliable, and so much so that they are untrustworthy, unreliable, to the point that they will not allow them to testify in court. All shepherds are a bunch of liars. By the way, does that happen in any professions today? I mean, are there not professions that just get labeled that way? Whether it's lawyers or politicians, or worse than that, a lawyer that is a politician, whatever the case may be. So they are labeled as not being trustworthy. Now, can you see where this is an issue? Can you see where this is difficult? Why would you want to pull shepherds into the picture to be a testimony to the birth of the king when they're considered ceremonially unclean? They're considered untrustworthy. The third thing, they were also typically uneducated and unskilled. In other words, most people didn't aspire to be shepherds. In other words, that was not the job. Hey, I'm going to college and then I'm going to go be a shepherd. Hey, I'm going to go get educated and then go be a shepherd. Shepherd is kind of the fallback. Well, I know how to shepherd. My dad did that all his life. And so the interesting thing here is the one time in history that God is going to send his son to be born into this world, he sends out a birth announcement. Anybody ever do that? Have a baby? Send out a birth announcement? Oh, we've got this beautiful baby boy. God sends out a birth announcement. Does not send it to the mayor of Bethlehem. Does not send it to the high priest. Does not send it to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Does not send it to the Roman officials. He sends the birth announcement to shepherds. That's exciting. And the reason that is exciting is because they were the lowest of the low, the humblest of the humble. I mean, they were just at the bottom of the barrel, and God chose them. Now, hopefully you can begin to see where Luke's going to be going with this in the next few verses. He takes these shepherds that God sends the message to, and he begins to develop how God uses them. So first of all, we have the shepherds. Now, by the way, let's not forget that shepherds shepherd sheep, right? Sheep really smart? No. Shepherd dumb, defenseless, unskilled sheep. Okay. Now, if you wanted to have your ego stroked today, you probably came to the wrong place. What does the scripture describe the people of God as? Sheep. You say, I take exception to that remark. I have you know I am very smart. Yeah, you're very smart for a sheep. But you're still a sheep. So, I mean, just keep all that in mind. And by the way, this fellow right here, he is an under-shepherd, but he's also a sheep. I'm both. I'm an under-shepherd, but also a sheep. So I have no grounds to come on any higher level. I'm still a sheep. Now, so we see the shepherd. Number two, the angels. Now notice the angel, verse number 9. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, interesting thing here. Note on your study guide. First of all, it's an unnamed angel. Now, when I say unnamed angel, I'm not saying that the angel didn't have a name. I'm sure God has a name for that angel. But we are not given the name of that angel. In chapter number 1, we have the angel Gabriel, by name, called out, appearing to Zacharias. In chapter number 1, we have the angel Gabriel, by name, speaking to Mary. But when it comes to this hillside, the angel is not given a name. And I believe there's a reason for that. I mean, this is my speculation. You can speculate however you want to. But the angel is not given a name. We're not told who it is because the emphasis is not on the angel, but the emphasis is on what's taking place in Bethlehem. That is where the emphasis is. So it could have been Gabriel, but he didn't call him by name. The second thing, notice that when the angel appears, the glory of the Lord shone round them. Now, what is interesting about that, we do not hear that in chapter 1 when Gabriel appeared to Zacharias. We do not hear that in chapter 1 when Gabriel appeared to Mary. It's only on this hillside that the glory of the Lord shone round about them when the angel appears. Again, just speculation, but I believe it has a whole lot to do with what he's about to announce. He's announcing the birth of the king. Now, interesting. I don't know for certain that Jesus was born at night, but when the angel appears to the shepherds, it is at night. And he lights up the sky. When Jesus goes to the cross and dies on the cross, it's full bright daylight. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, God closes off in darkness. The exact opposite. It's dark, and the brightness of the day star from on high springs upon the earth. It's daylight. And the Son of God gives his life on the cross, and God takes away the light. I'm reminded of one other thing. Remember the Old Testament scripture where Moses comes down off the mountain? He's been in the presence of God. And what's happening? His face is shining. I mean, he's putting off a glow. Something remarkable is about to take place and or be shared. And God wants people to know about it. And he's sharing it with the shepherds. Then notice the third thing, the suddenness of his appearance. Shepherds weren't sitting around the campfire that, hey, is that an angel coming there? Yeah, I think that's an angel. Took him about 10 minutes to come. No, not at all. The shepherds are there. Boom! The angel's on the scene. I love that. I love the fact that suddenly there was an angel in their presence. Didn't slowly materialize. Wasn't like Star Trek of old where they hit the button and the guy begins. No, suddenly. And then notice the result. Again, the angel shows up and they are saying, wow, what a nice fluffy little angel. How sweet. No, they are terrified. Absolutely terrified. These are guys that fight off predators that would come after their sheep, no questions asked. They're terrified when an angel shows up. So we have, first of all, the shepherds. Then we have the angel. Now let's look at the message. Look at verse number 10. But the angel said to them. Now, let's just try to break down what is going to be said into phrases. Letter A, don't be afraid. And by the way, we're going to go through these very quickly, but then we're going to come back and take a look at how these apply. Don't be afraid. Now, you got to understand the shepherd's mindset. They have had it drummed into their head that they are ceremonially unclean, that they can't be right with God. Suddenly, an angel appears on the scene. Do you know what they probably thought? Judgment. The rabbis were right. They were right. God's here to strike us down. And there's the angel, and the angel is terrifying in his appearance. Surely this is what's happening. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Let me go ahead. You know what's wonderful about the message we have? Is to a world that can't figure out what life is all about. Can't figure out what's going to happen when I breathe my last breath. The message is, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. But don't be afraid. Then notice the second thing. He said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Now that phrase good news or good tidings or however it's translated is the word that we get our word evangelism from. It's euangelio. It is the word that means the gospel. The good news. So he says, I bring to you the gospel. Hey, the angel's saying, hey, don't be afraid. And I'll tell you why you don't need to be afraid. Because I'm bringing the gospel. I'm bringing news of a Savior. I'm bringing news of how you can be in a right relationship with God. Letter C. This is where it gets strange. Which shall be to all people. Wait a minute. These are Jewish guys, aren't they? Wait a minute. Jews are special people. Only God. God only deals with Jewish people. The angel says, let me tell you something. There is a gospel that will be great news, bring great joy which shall be to all people. Hey, it's going to be to Gentiles. It's going to be good news to Samaritans. And guess what? It's even going to be good news to poor shepherds. Might as well go ahead. And it's even going to be good news to a man named Theophilus. Letter D, very quickly. The Savior has been born. The Savior has been born. Not a complicated message, not about, you know, do these six things and everything's going to be okay between you and God. Hey, let me tell you, the Savior has been born. Verse 11, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is the anointed. He is the mediator between God and man. He is indeed the Savior. Now, I don't know if the shepherds fully understood that, but that's the message. The Savior has been born. That's the same message we have today. The message hadn't changed. The message is not different. For those who are fearful of life, for those who don't know their purpose and direction in life, don't understand what life is all about, the good news is don't be afraid. I've got great news to that is for all people, and that is the Savior has been born. And then we know the Savior not only was born, but went to the cross and died for our sins. Letter E. You should go look for him. Did you see that? Look at verse number 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What is he saying? Hey, you need to go look for him. You need to diligently seek him. Hey, let me give you some clues. How you'll know. This is how you'll know. Go diligently seek him. Then letter F. I love this because letter F is the exclamation point. Verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, notice a couple of things. First of all, suddenly there's not one angel, but there's a multitude. Now, how many angels showed up? I don't know. But I do know this, that when the word multitude is used in Scripture, often it's between 3,000 and 5,000. This wasn't the angelic ensemble showed up. You know, we got six angels here, really sing good. We're going to, no. In fact, I don't even know that it says anything about them singing. They're praising God. They're glorifying God. They're lifting up God in this place. It says, and glory to God in the highest. And here's the message. And on earth, peace among men. Not absence of war. Not, if that was the message, God failed miserably. That's not the message. On earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Who is God pleased with? Those who understand their need of a Savior and seek after him. And he draws them to help them seek after him. Do we have the gospel in a nutshell or what right here? Right in the story, the simple story of the shepherds and the multitude of angels are singing glory to God. Not a single one of those of those angels had ever been lost. Not a single one of those angels ever knew what it was to be redeemed. And yet they're praising God for what he is doing in redeeming mankind. Amazing. Number four, the search. Let's go quickly. Some of you are wishing I would go more quickly. Verse 15, the search. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Very quickly, letter A. The shepherds are convinced of, number one, or first thing, the truth of the message. There's no doubt in their mind that what has been shared with them by the angel is the truth. If they weren't convinced it was the truth, they would have said, let's have another cup of coffee and sit around the fire a little longer. They are absolutely convinced of the truth. Aren't you thankful that when the gospel goes forth, there are people that are absolutely convinced of the truth and are drawn to the Savior? They are absolutely convinced of the truth of the message. They're also absolutely convinced of the source of the message. One shepherd doesn't say to the other, you think that was from the devil? Where do you think that message came from? Not a question. They know that this is a message from the Lord, and they... Listen, when they go, they say, hey, let's go and see this thing which the Lord hath made known to us. Letter B, the shepherds act on their conviction. See, it is not enough to say, hey, I believe this. Pass another cup of coffee. But they said, let's get up and go. And they got up and went without delay. I've often wondered whether they even left anybody to watch the sheep. I mean, did they have this discussion who has to stay here? Or did they leave it with somebody else? They said, sheep can take care of themselves tonight. And they went. Then let her see. The shepherds find what they were seeking. They go to Bethlehem. They follow the directions and instructions of the angel, and they find what they're seeking. The good news is, people today can still find Jesus. We kind of made it like, well, nobody wants to hear today. There are still people that will hear, and people can still find the Savior today. Then letter D, the shepherds began preaching a message they probably did not fully understand. They may not have understood all the specifics about what it meant that the Savior was coming or had come. But all they knew is they began to proclaim it in verse number 17. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Verse number 18. And all of Israel and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. They first proclaimed it to Mary and Joseph and then to anybody that would listen. That's a pretty good recipe for evangelism, isn't it? Tell it to those around you, and then tell it to anybody that'll listen. Number five, notice the response. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, notice three responses. First of all, there were some who wondered. They thought about it. They thought it was a remarkable story, and that's amazing, and all of that. But there's nothing more given. You don't know that they ever took it any further than wondering about it. And that's what some people do with the gospel message. Some wonder about it, think about it, think maybe Jesus is Son of God. I don't know. But they never get any further about it. Then you have Mary who treasured and pondered. And I liken that to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that sits in a service such as this. And though the message is more evangelistic in nature and presenting the gospel, they treasure and ponder the truths of God over and over and roll them around in their mind and think on those things over and over again like Mary did. And then let her see. Then you have the shepherds who praised and glorified God, who not only heard it, but accepted it, acted on it, and responded in praise and glory to Almighty God. Now, here's the interesting part. As the Holy Spirit's moving Luke to write these words, I can see Luke thinking about Theophilus and thinking, Theophilus, they were just a bunch of lowly shepherds. Nobody cared about. But they heard the good news. They responded in faith to the good news. They acted on the good news. And they ended up praising God and worshiping Him. Theophilus, if God can do that with shepherds, He can do that with you. And that's the good news. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you may have all these things in your past you think disqualify you, but if He can do it with shepherds, He can do it with you. You may have a friend or neighbor or relative that thinks that they are beyond hope, beyond help from the gospel, but if He can do it with the shepherds, He can do it for them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. I bring you good news. I bring you the gospel, which will be for great joy to all people, not just the spiritually elite.